I have never viewed myself as the father of anything except my little girl. I call her my little girl, even though she is now quite old. If you have your scriptures and you would turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. In my lifetime, I have had over 50,000 answers to prayer. Perhaps you are saying, such a number, how do you know such a number? Because I write them down. We are like the children of Israel. We forget what God has done, yes? We forget the wilderness God has brought through us, We forget that God has parted the Red Sea for us on many occasions. We forget that God has delivered us from the Egyptians. We forget what God has done. And so when I bring a request before the Lord, I write down the request, and when God has answered, I write down God's answer. For some things God has answered even before the words left my lips. For some things I have prayed for an hour, for some things a day, for some things a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years. For one thing I have prayed every day for 40 years for God to answer, the salvation of my brother. For 30,000 needs I have prayed, and God has answered. For 20,000 souls I have prayed for by name, as you would perhaps come, would you pray for my father, my brother, and that I would write down the name, and when you would come to me, God has brought into himself, I write down God's answer. 50,000 answers to prayer. But it is not about prayer. It is about trust. It is about believing that God shall do what God has said. It is about believing that he is. That he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. As your brother has shared with you some small part of our beginnings. By the time I was 9 years of age, I was a drunkard. By the time I was 12 years of age, I was a gambler. 13, 14, my life was given completely to wickedness. I was like it was said in the book of Proverbs. I could not sleep unless I had done some wickedness. Day after day, night after night, the drinking house, the gambling house, the places of wickedness. When I was 14, my mother died and I was very frightened. I remember I had stuck at home, fallen into bed. My father shook me, come, come, you must come. And I follow. I am outside, there is a procession, I go to a building. It was not until I was in the building standing that I recognized that I was in the church, the Lutheran church, and that my mother's coffin was there upon the front of the church. And I was very, very frightened because my mother, she was a very good lady, but I was not a very good young man. And so I reformed myself, but you cannot reform yourself. My reformation lasted perhaps a fortnight, no longer. When I was 15, my father said to me, George, you are lazy. You are a liar. You are quick with your tongue. You do not like to work. I have found a perfect profession for you. You shall become a pastor. After all, people, they think the pastor, he has only to work one day a week, yeah. But I was to be a pastor in the Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church is the state church of Prussia. To have a pastor in the Lutheran Church, it was to have a government position. It would be for you to work for your post office to have a government job. But the Lutheran Church, they paid a lot of money. Perhaps some of you should reconsider the church for whom you pastor. But I did not know God. I was not a believer in Jesus Christ. It was a job. And so I attended the university in Halle to study theology, and I had many books about theology, but I did not own a Bible. I could translate Greek and Hebrew and Latin, but I did not know the scriptures. Still, I was living a life of wickedness. because of my cleverness, I could drink and gamble the very day and the night, and when the examination would come, I could answer the questions. When I was 16, I thought I should have holiday from school, and I forged letters of permission from my father, and I pawned all of my school books, and I went to the finest hotels of Europe, and I lived a high life. I was like a prodigal son. When the money ran out, I go to another hotel, and again I run up large accounts, drinking, gambling, invite my friends to join me. The manager comes to me, said, "Young man, you must settle your account," and I had to leave all of my fine clothing except that which was upon my back for payment. I go to another hotel, again I run up large accounts, and now the manager comes to me, "Young man, you came to our hotel, you had no luggage, I do not believe you have any money, you must pay your account." And I said, "I cannot, I have no luggage, as you say, I have no money, I'm 16 years of age, what can you do to me?" He puts me in jail. My cellmate was a murderer. It was not a jail for children. I felt at home. Finally, I discovered people as wicked as myself. I remember when my cellmate was threatening me. I was a young man. He said, "I have murdered a person." I said, "I have murdered two people." He said, "I have robbed two banks." I said, "I have robbed three banks." I was wicked. My heart was given continued to wickedness. My father discovered my whereabouts. He paid my debt. He delivered me from prison. He said, "George, you must reform yourself." And so outwardly, again, I reformed. I became the model student. I became the first student at the university. Championship in debate. But I did not know God. During this time, I did meet one Christian. His name was Bertha. And he wished to be my friend. And now perhaps you are saying, "Oh, to tell you about Jesus Christ." No, he wished to be my friend so that I would take him to the drinking house and the gambling house. He was like so many believers. He wished to walk as close to the world as he could walk. And again, like the book of Proverbs, I would say, "Come, let us all be of one purse." And I would let him pay for the drinking and the gambling. And they mocked his God and they mocked his Christianity. But the Holy Spirit dwelling within his heart would not allow him to enjoy his sin. And he left my company after a time. A year later, I see him. "Bertha, how are you? Come, we will go to the drinking house, to the gambling house." "No, I will not go with you, George Mueller." "Where do you go?" "You do not wish to go with me." "Oh, yes, yes, you. I would like to go. You are my friend." "I'm going to prayer meeting," he said. "I would like to go with you to this prayer meeting." You see, I thought, I will go to this prayer meeting, and I will, with my much theological training, I will confuse and I will confound these people. I was not within myself only to be wishing evil, but I wished to destroy the faith, the belief of someone else. You see, when Satan attacks us, he perhaps will attack our home, but he does not need our home. He perhaps will attack your life, your health, but he does not need your health. He does not need your money, but he wishes to destroy your faith. This is what he wishes to attack. This is what he wishes to undermine. And so I thought, I will go to this church. I will make them doubt that Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. I will make them doubt that the scripture is the word of God. I will make them doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I will attack their belief, their faith, with my martial training. And so I go. Such prayers never before had they heard. Prayers that rose as a sweet-smelling savor into the nostrils of God. I remember thinking to myself, I am much more learned than any of these people, but I could not pray half so well as they. When the meeting was complete, I go to Herr Wagner. He was the pastor, and as your moderator say, it was in a house church. It was not an officially recognized church. And I said, "Could I return?" And he said, "Young man, come as often as you like." You see, I thought, I will go back, and I will, with my martial training, I will argue with him. And so the next night I come back to argue, and the next night to argue, to argue, to argue, to argue. Every night for 2 weeks, a fortnight, I come to argue. And at the end of the time, I had argued myself right into heaven. I do not believe that someone else can argue me into heaven, but I believe that I could argue myself into heaven. So, now I'm a Christian. This I tell you. If the blood of Jesus Christ can wash clean the sin of George Mueller, there is no sin the blood of Jesus Christ cannot clean. I write to my father, "Father, I wish not to be a pastor, but perhaps not in the Lutheran church. I would like to be a missionary pastor to the Hebrew people, the Jewish people in the country of Austria. My father, he writes back to me, I did not send you away to become a poor missionary. I send you away to become a rich pastor in the Lutheran church so that you can care for me when I am old. I cut you off. And before, I would have just lied or cheated, stolen to get the money. This I had done many, many times when I had gambled away all of my school money. But I knew that such things were not honoring to God. I went to one of my professors, Dr. Toluk, a very godly man. Very scholarly, learned man. I said, what should I do? He said, you must trust God. You must ask God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us, and he tells us, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. To him that seeketh, find it. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so I said, Father, I believe you would have me complete my graduate training, and I have no money. Your country, America, it is a very special country. God has used your nation to meet the needs of many. Three pastors from America, they come across the Atlantic Ocean, they come across the continent of Europe, they come to the University in Halle to study theology, and they did not speak any German. They find me, they say, we understand that you speak English. I said, yes, I speak English, I also speak German, I also speak Russian, I also speak some of the Slavic languages, I also speak some of the Scandinavian languages, and also I speak French and Spanish, and also now I speak a little Chinese and Japanese as well. They said, would you translate the lectures for us? Yes. Also, would you take notes for us in the class? Yes. Also, would you teach us to speak and to write German? Yes. Also, we will pay you. Yes. And so God paid me to go to school and to take notes. I remember once I was asked by a church to preach, and I had never preached. And so I went to Dr. Toluk. I said, Dr. Toluk, what should I do? He said, here's one of my sermons. In those days, many of the sermons were manuscript sermons. The pastors would study, they would write out. It was a thing of beauty, a piece of literature. The sermon, and it was not unusual for a pastor to will his sermons to a younger pastor, because these were beautiful, they were scholarly, they were learned, and so he said to me, here's one of my sermons, memorize the sermon and preach for yourself. And so I took a sermon and I memorized the sermon, I go to the church, I preach to the church, and they say, oh, you are very good young preacher, we like you very much. Would you come back tonight to preach to us again? I only knew one sermon. I went back to Dr. Toluk and I said, what should I do? He said, tell them what is upon your heart. And so this with you is what I do. I tell you what is upon my heart. I complete my studies. I was going on one of the London Mission Societies to Austria, and they say, if you wish to go to Austria, you must come to England. And I said, why should I do this? Austria, it is only over a mountain. England, it is some distance away. This is a question we ask many times, yeah. Why? We ask this question of God much, yeah. Why, God, has this happened to me? Why, God, did you allow this? Why, God, did you bring this to my life? Even as our brother Job said this, yeah. We should not ask God, why? We should ask God, what? What, God, for me, do you have to learn? God wished for me to go to England. I go to England, I meet with the people, and they say to me, we're going to give you a letter of credit to go to the mission field. I said, what is a letter of credit? They said, it is a promise to pay. I said, God, he does not need a letter of credit. God, he can pay. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He is the creator of all. He does not need a letter of credit. And so we part friends, but we part. And I took my very first church. It was in the village of Teignmouth, England. Teignmouth, it is a beautiful place, a small fishing village on the southern coast of England. Very small, but very lovely place. The elders of the church, they said to me, we're going to pay you £55 a year out of the pew rent. I said, what is pew rent? They said, we charge people to come to church. It has been my experience here in America, if you were to charge people to come to church, you should charge people more to sit in the back of the church. Not charge them anything to sit in the front of the church. You must be charging too much for these pews here, Pastor, and here as well. But I say, we cannot charge people to come to church. And they say, then we cannot pay your salary. I say, we will trust God. They said, you are a very foolish young man. But I have never learned to be any less foolish than to trust God. They were going to pay me 55 English pounds out of the pew rent. And so I said to them, let us build a box. We will put the box at the back of the church. As God put upon the heart of the people to put money in the box, that shall be my salary. And so we begin. Sometimes I would not have any money. Once I had a need for 1 shilling to purchase a new pair of boots. My boots were holy boots. If I had been Moses with my boots, I would not have to remove the boots to walk on holy ground. Always with the boots on, I was walking on holy ground. And so I was praying, Father, I need some new boots. Please provide the 1 shilling. And I finished the sermon that particular morning. And the elders who had the key, I do not have the key to the box, did not touch the money till they counted give to me. He said to me, Brother Mueller, there is nothing in the box. He said, but only 1 shilling. Would you like it now or should I wait until there is more? Now would be a good time, yeah. But at the end of the first year, God, he had not given to us £55. God, he had provided for us £155. And most of this money I give away. So the next year, God gives to us £185. And this away I give also. And the next year, God gives to us £220. And this also I give away. I was at the time a single young man. I did not require a great deal of money. I'm going to share something with you so that you can understand. I will speak about money, but money, it is not important to God. But God uses it to teach us about himself. In my lifetime, I have given away what would be in your money here now, today, approximately $30 million. I do not have $30 million. I have only perhaps £100 in my account now. But you see, God, he brings much money through my hands because it does not stick to my fingers. God allows me to support 169 missionaries. Completely. Just me and God. We have 1,000 Christian schools all over the world, the Scriptural Knowledge Institute, for home and abroad, and God allows us to provide for this also. So these things I say to you, it is to show you the power of God, to help you understand the great work we can do for God, through God, in God. The church was a church of 50 people. When I began, I preached faithfully the Word of God, and in 3 weeks, we didn't have 50 people no more. We had 30 people. I did not think it was supposed to go that direction. Sometimes you have to preach people out of the church here before God can bring people into the church. But the church did grow. It grew to several hundred people, and Teignmouth is a small place. Brother Henry Craig and his family came to join me and my wife Mary. God provided a wife for me. And the church grew and grew, and we felt that God was leading us away from this church to the city of Bristol, England. famous small fishing village, Bristol, a large industrial shipbuilding city, very dirty place, much ironmongery, much dust. And I took a smaller church than the church I left. And then I passed up two churches. I would preach at one, I would get into horseback, I would drive to the next and preach there. Those churches also, they began to grow. They grew to many hundreds through the power of God. But then God laid upon our hearts orphans. In England, in these times, there were, we estimate, perhaps approximately 250,000 orphans, and not a single orphanage. And these were the days, life was very short, much accident, much death, much disease. Typhus had swept England, many die. But that is not why we began an orphanage. I had read in my studies how that in the 1600s, a man by the name of Brother Frank, he had operated an orphanage in Austria only by prayer. And for 200 years, this had been a testimony to the power of God. And I thought, I would like very much to leave a testimony for 200 years to the power of God. Something that would go far beyond me. And as there was a need for an orphanage, we began to pray for an orphanage. If a child at this time was an orphanage, often they would put them in jail or sometimes into the insane asylum. If the child would run away, oftentimes they would turn to prostitution or to the opium trade, pickpockets, cut purses, burglars, thieves. Sometimes a child who would not wish to do this, they would be chimney sweeps, and you say, oh, you put the brush. No, they put the boy up the chimney. The soot, it would get into the lungs, the boy would be sick, he would die, they would... I have seen them thrown away, much as you would throw away rubbish. Some children, they would be forced to work in the coal mines until they would go blind in the darkness. And so we began to pray. To pray that God would meet this need. We made a promise to God. I made the promise that I would never ask for money. That only by prayer would we conduct this. I would not allow the staff to share the needs. If there was a staff, when we began, there was no staff. That is a grand word, staff, yes. But we will not allow anyone to share the needs. We share it with God. If you were to come to me and you would say, Brother Mueller, do you need some money? I would say to you, you must ask God. God knows the need. I have told him, you ask him. He will tell you if he wishes for you to meet the need. And so we began to pray. I remember the very first money that came was from a young boy. He was 12 years of age. He was dying. The money in his possession was 1 shilling in those days. That was much money for a child to have. And he said to his parents, I would like you to give this to Brother Mueller for orphans. Now we have a policy also now. If you give money to food, it goes to food, to salary for the helpers, it goes to salary for upkeep, for maintenance, it goes for this. We do not rob Peter to pay Paul. What you give, it goes to this. Because I believe that if God has put upon your heart to give to this is where should go. God told you to give. And so this young boy, he said, for the orphans. And every day we were praying. And God opened wide the windows of heaven and he poured out upon us his blessing. We prayed for a house, God brought us a house. We prayed for a couple to be the parents of these orphans. God brought us a couple to help us. We prayed for everything. We had nothing. And God, he provided tables and chairs and cups and saucers and plates and knives and forks and spoons and beds and sheets and blankets. God opened wide the windows of heaven and he poured out upon us his blessing. And the day came. It was a beautiful April morning. The sun was shining, everything was in readiness, all the furniture was in its place, every cup, every saucer, everything was in its place. We had everything, but we had no orphans. We had forgot to ask God for orphans. The scripture is very clear. It says you have not because you ask not. Yeah? We assume a great deal with God. Yeah? And so we bowed our heads. We felt so very foolish. And we said, God, would you send to us orphans? I thought that we should start out with little girl orphans. I thought little girl orphans, they would be much easier than little boy orphans. I did not know so much back then. That was before my daughter was born, yeah. God, he sent to us 30 little girls from age 2 to age 12. But it was not enough. God gave us a second house, and he filled that house with 30 babies from just a few hours old to age 2. But it was not enough, and God gave us a third house, and he filled that house with 30 boys, 90 children. And for a time, that was enough. I'm going to tell you these stories, and you will say, oh, that is a nice story. Perhaps you have heard these stories. First, you must understand, it is not a story, it is true. Secondly, you must understand, this did not occur one time only. In the first 10 years of our ministry, it was not unusual for us to arise in the morning and there would be no money. I had given away all of my money. We had sold everything that we could sell. Once my wife, Mary, and I, we took our wedding bands and we sold them to buy food for the children. We were not keeping back for ourselves that which we could not give to God. And so you must understand, for the first 10 years, this was the way God chose to build our faith, that sometimes there would be no money for food, no money for clothing, no money for salary, no money for repairs, no money, no money, no money. But always God met the need. And so when I say this story to you, you will say, oh yes, I have heard that story. But you must multiply this story many, many times. And so once there was no food, no money. We set the table, the children are gathered around the table. Father, you have said, take no thought, saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal shall you be clothed. Father, we have nothing to eat and we have nothing to drink. And we are thinking about such things this morning. The scripture says, you come boldly. I come boldly. He is my Father. My Abba Father. And so even as I pray, knock at the door, young lady, she go, there is a man outside. He said, I own a dairy and I was making my deliveries and this instant my milk wagon, the axle has broken. I cannot deliver my milk, it was spoiled. Do you need some milk? You know the story of the widow with the cruse of oil, how she got every pot and pan to fill with the oil, yeah, to sell and to meet the need. We were like this, we got every pot and pan and jar to pour out the milk and to take to the three open houses. For this, and we set the table there, the cups filled now with milk. Father, for the milk, we thank you, but we cannot live only on milk. You must give us something to eat. Father, you have said to open wide our mouths, and you will fill it. God, we cannot live on milk only. You must give us food. I come boldly. Even again, as I pray, knock at the door, young lady, she go. Husband and wife outside. They said, we both awoke and right away at the same time, 3 o'clock in the morning, that we should bake bread for these orphans this morning. Do you need some bread? Our God, he is such a good God. Our God, he gives to his children not only bread. Our God, he gives fresh bread to his children. Yes? This is his power. I'm going to share something with you. I do not share this in every place. But because of who you are, I share this with you. During this time, I had many. During this time, it was not unusual for me to arise early in the morning and to work 18, 20 hours a day. I was pastoring these churches. I was administrating the orphanage. I was working hard for God. My health broke down. I began to bleed from the lungs. My prayers were not praise to God. Father, we need this. Father, you must do this. Father, we must have this. My study was for my sermons, not for my heart. I became so busy with the business of serving God that I forgot to worship God. I forgot that God wishes, that He, as the scripture tells us, yearns to envy for us. This I forgot. But I began to work so hard for God that I did not have time with God. And God laid me low. We do not like when God says to us, be still and know that I am God. My health broke down so much that I was paralyzed. I could not move. I remember during this time, a lady came and she secretly put money in my wife's purse. She did not tell my wife, but she said to her, if I were to give you money, I would like for you to take a holiday, to rest. And when my wife returned home that night, she is going through her purse and she sees this money. And God, He cares so much for us that even for our rest He cares. And this He provides. And God, help me to understand what it means to trust completely in Him. And now I accomplish as much with an hour or 2 hours of prayer and 12 hours of work as 20 hours of work and no time to pray. But this was a lesson God had to teach me, because we like to feel that God must have us. We like to be busy with the business of serving God. It was during this time that I received a letter. It was from Mr. Anonymous. Brother Mueller, your orphanages are making the value of my property go down. You should move them. Such a nice letter to write to orphans, yeah. There was not a map where we should move. There was not the money to help us move. But I thought the work of God, it should not be evil spoken of. I knew of a piece of property on Ashley Down in Bristol, England. I knew that the man was selling for £200 an acre, but God, He had not provided so much money to pay for this. And so I thought, I am a good German, I am quick with my tongue. I will go, I will talk him down. I did not ask God this, I just go. I go to his house, he was not there. They tell me he is at his place of business. I go there, he was not there neither. So I go home. And I said to God, God, I'm going to stop trying to help you out. Sometimes I think this is like when my daughter was small, she would come to my study. Papa, I'm going to help you. And she would work and work and work. And I was, oh, you are such a wonderful daughter. Thank you so much. And she would go. And when she was gone, I would have to undo all that she had done. Yeah. Sometimes I think it is this way when we try to help God out. Yeah. Sometimes He must undo all that we have done. And so I got home, I said, God, this is in your hands. And I go to bed and I sleep like the baby. I arrive early in the morning, 5 o'clock, 5:30. 5:30 in the morning, it was this man, he come to see me. Brother Mueller, all night I could not sleep. I had this property and I wish that I could give it to you, but I cannot. I have a debt that I owe, I must pay the debt. I was asking £200 an acre so that I could pay the debt and make a profit on the property. But if you think, oh, I do not know, but perhaps could you pay me £120 an acre for this property? Then I will have exactly enough to pay the debt. God had given us exactly this amount to pay £120 an acre for the 7 acres. Sometimes we think only of ourselves. But you see, God, He used this man to meet our need. But God, He had provided for us so that we also could meet this man's need. And then a man come, Brother Mueller, I will give you stone for a new home, a new house for the children. Another man come, I will design a property for you and oversee the construction. Another man come, I will give you the glass for the window. Another man come, and God built a house for 350 orphans. Only by prayer. But it was not enough. And so God built a second house. He enlarged the first house. 1,000 orphans now. But it was not enough. And God built a third house, 1,500 orphans. And God gave us 11 acres of property adjacent to the first seven. And God built a fourth house, 2,000 orphans. A fifth house, 2,500 orphans. And every day God feeds them only by prayer. God puts the clothes upon their back and the shoes upon their feet. Even the boys and the young ladies, as they would reach the age where they would go out upon their own, 15, 16, in those days it would be, we could not afford to purchase apprenticeships for them, but always a man would come, I am a plumber, I will pay the apprenticeship, I need a young man. A stonemason would come, a carpenter would come, a lady would come, I need three young ladies to work in my house. I will train them to be ladies' maids. I will train them to be seamstresses, to be cooks, to be whatever she would have the need. And God provide even the future for these children. These children were not lords and ladies. They were not going to be great, wealthy people. They were just children. Just people whose parents had died. And God even provide for them. For that which we could not begin to pay. So many stories for you I could tell. But I wish for you to understand this. I do not believe there is anyone here who has a need greater than 2,500 orphans. Who feeds them three times a day. Yeah. And so, as I will tell you these, so many things. Once, it was in the midst of winter in England, it is very cold, very wet, much like here. But the men come to me, they say, the boiler is in need of repair, we will take perhaps 2 weeks to repair the boiler. And to them I said nothing, but to God I said, God, 2 weeks, the children, they will get cold, we are already at capacity, there is no place to put these children, they will be sick, they will die. Father, you must give them a mind to work. And so the men, they come back to me the next day, they say, Brother Miller, we have spoken among ourselves, and we think if we work around the clock, we can perhaps complete the repair of the boiler in 3 days, not 2 weeks. And we will not stop working until the boiler is complete. And so to them, I say, this is good, but to God, I say, God, 3 days, children still, they will get cold. You must help us. You must do something. And so we put out the fire in the boiler, allowed to cool so the men could work. That day, God changed the weather. In England, the wind, it comes from the north, from the Iceland, from the cold. But that day, God, He changed around. So now the wind comes from the south, from the Mediterranean Sea. And the breath of God kept the children warm. It was like the springtime. And when the boiler was complete and repaired and again heating, God lifted His hand, but the children, they stay warm. This is not an accident. This is the power of God. I will tell you the story and then I will be silent. Once we had a need for 20,000 English pounds. That would be 100,000 American dollars. But in your money, here now, today, that would be the equivalent of $1 million. I did not have $1 million as a face. Sometimes, perhaps, if you would have opportunity, I have a journal that we publish. There are 6 volumes. But in it is every prayer request and every answer that God has given. I feel a great obligation. Again, if you were to give money and you were to say, I'm giving 100 pounds for food, you could go to my journal and you would see, dear, where your money went. because I feel a great responsibility for what God has entrusted to me. And I keep very careful accounts. Sometimes I'm afraid to publish these accounts lest people think that I'm asking for more money. And so I'll be very careful. But I write in my journal, Father, I do not see how you can meet the need from one who seems so far from you, who seems so wicked, whose faith is so small. And I share with you our policy, and so for many days this is blank. And then a lady come to me. She was a seamstress. And one of the great ladies for whom she had sewn for many years had died and left her £100, a legacy for the future, for the time when she could no longer see the needle to hold the needle and sew the thread. And she came to me. She said, Brother Miller, God has told me to give you this money. And I said to her, I cannot take this money. I know your situation. I cannot take this. This is for your future. And she said to me, Brother Miller, if you do not take this money, you will rob me of the blessing. Let me say, share this with you. When you give money, it is for your blessing you give. You see, God, He has promised to meet my need whether you give or not. The work of God will go forward with or without you. And so the blessing, it will be to rob yourself, not me or the missionary or the church or the pastor. The giving of money, it is the blessing for yourself, not for me. And so she said this to me, you will rob me of the blessing. And so to her I say, this is, I cannot argue, I will take the money. But ever if you need again, I will give it back to you. You come, I will give. That has been many years, and God has blessed her far beyond the £100 that she was going to give. And so to her I say, thank you. But to God I say, this is not £20,000. At this time, approximately 35 years of the ministry, we received £1,000 gift. Never before in this 30-something years had we received such a large gift. £20, £10, or £100 was a large gift. But now, £1,000 gift, thank you. God, still, this is not £20,000. Money specifically for this project, this need. A few days passed. £2,000 gift. Never before such a large gift. Thank you. But God said, this is not £20,000. A few more days passed. £3,000 gift. Thank you. God still, £6,100 is not £20,000. And every day I am praying for it, and every day I am seeking, this is a great need. For many other things I pray. For many people. There was a young man. He wished to go to the mission field of India. His parents were of extreme wealth, lords, ladies, vast business, estates, property, money. And he came to me, he said, Brother Miller, God is calling me to go to the mission field of India. My parents, they do not wish for me to go. I think I should just go. I said, the scripture tells us, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. God will not call you to do that which is opposite what He tells us. Let us do this. Let us wait upon the Lord. Let us pray that God will change the heart of your parents. Then you shall go with the blessing of God. Young men, they do not like to wait. Yeah. And so we pray. What made it for him even more difficult is they had said to him, we will send 10 missionaries and pay for them completely to go in your place if you will remain and conduct the family business. They felt as if this was a good thing. Yeah. But obedience is better than sacrifice. We like to sacrifice. God, He wishes for us to obey. And even the young man going without his parents' permission, blessing, that would have been a sacrifice, but it would not have been obedience. And so we pray. Every day. I make a promise to pray with him. He will also of us pray. For 1 month we pray. And then from him I receive a letter. Brother Mueller, I'm going to the mission field with the blessing of my parents. You were right. Now I can go and work for the Lord with out any bitterness, no anger. Now I have my parents' blessing. I remember he sent to me his gold watch, a beautiful watch. He said, sell this and feed the children. Because in India, I will be on God's time. Because God's time is always the right time. And so he asked me also in the letter, would I pray for his sister, that she would come to join him on the mission field. He tells me she is a very vain young lady, much caught up in the things of the world. And so we began to pray. Some time passed, and from her also we received a letter. I'm going to join my brother on the mission field. I understand you have been praying for me. And she sends with her letter a box. And she says in her letter, here are the toys of my vanity from one who no longer has need of such things. I am a Prussian. I am a very literal person. And when you say to me toys, I am thinking toys. And I am thinking, I have 2,500 orphans. There cannot be enough toys in this box for all of them. And you know, if you give one child a toy, all the children, they must have a toy. You cannot give to one, not to the other. And so I am not understanding. I am very confused by what she say. And so I open up the box. I open up the box, and I am sitting there, I am looking at the crown jewels of England. Here is a sapphire necklace. Stones of such beautiful deep blue, stones the size of a robin's egg. Sapphire earrings and a sapphire brooch. A king's ransom from the King of Kings. Yeah. And I set these things aside. I call for one of the young boys. Go quickly, you must go to the jeweler who will help us dispose of such things as these. And there I am pulling aside cotton wool. There is a diamond necklace, the diamond ring, diamond earrings. I thought to myself, the hand of God, he made these stones for this day. And he hid them away in the vault of heaven. And he guided the hand of the man who discovered his stones, and the man who cut his stones, and the man who set his stones. And even this young lady in her vanity, when she chose these stones, she chose these stones for this day, because our God knows the end, even from the beginning. And the jeweler comes, and he tells me it is the rest of the 20,000 pounds, nearly $750,000 in jewels. And before he left, I said, just one moment, for this I must leave a record. And I took the diamond ring I put here upon my finger. I went to the glass where I would look out and pray for the children as they would play outside. And I cut in the glass the name of God. I cut in the glass, Yahweh, Yireh, Jehovah, Jireh, the Lord will provide. Because for us, even the very name of God, it is a promise that God shall do what God has said. And so it is not about prayer. It is about faith. It is about faith believing. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is Jehovah Jireh. That He is Yahweh Shammah, the God who is there. That He is Elohim. That He is Adonai. That He is the I Am. That He is the one in whom all power dwells in heaven and in earth. That He is. He is the reward of those who diligently seek Him. Oh, my brothers, it is about faith. It is about taking the promises of God and holding them to your heart and believing that what God has said, He shall do. Oh, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is the reward of those who diligently seek Him. My brother, would you come and close our time as you would see fit? Thank you, gentlemen, for your time.